From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
So joining us on today's podcast is Joshua Savage, or Josh, and he just wrote a book called 100 Things to Do in Bend, Oregon Before You Die. Josh, thanks so much for being on with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. And so now you're in Bend right now, and that's what you wrote your book about. And we're going to talk about that. But people who are listening are going to detect a Southern accent. So you're not from Bend.
No, I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, in that area.
Okay.
I've been there most of my life, so I don't think the accent's ever going to go away, probably.
Yeah, probably not. But it's endearing. I like it. And so tell us about just your background. And I know you grew up in Memphis, and how you got into writing.
I've always liked to write as long as I can remember. You know, even when I was a kid, I'd write stories and stuff. And I guess as I got older, you know, life happens. I became a teacher, and I'm still a teacher, actually. But, I taught Spanish. I taught social studies. I'm actually teaching writing now.
Oh, fun. In Bend?
I did some tutoring in Bend.
Okay.
Up at the local community college.
Uh-huh.
But I actually teach online back in northern Mississippi, close to Memphis, at a community college down that way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Northwest Community College. I've been teaching there for about 12 years.
So you live in Bend, but you can do that online, and it's no big thing.
Yeah, no big thing.
Yeah,
I've been doing
technology.
It for a long time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I know there are a lot of writers I've interviewed who come from teaching backgrounds. I think is it one of those things where you always wanted to write books, but, you know, you got to have a job that pays the bills and health insurance and all that?
Probably, but I just kind of landed into teaching. Just a buddy of mine one day, he was like, I was actually studying psychology, and I had my minor was in Spanish, and my buddy said, you know what, we really need a Spanish teacher up at the school where I'm teaching, and I had never even thought about being a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up there and interviewed, and the next thing you know, I've been doing it for almost 20 years now. So,
oh, crazy.
But, yeah, but I just kind of fell into it, and, you know, I really liked it. It's rewarding, you know, rewarding and stuff. And, you know, I just kind of – and then as far as the writing goes, like I said, I've always written, and it's kind of hard to break into publishing. You know, I mean, people who write probably know that, but
yeah.
And a lot of it's just trying to get it out there. I mean, the writing part is the easy part because you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to get it published and write query letters and talk to
mm-hmm.
editors and agents and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's a pain.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
A lot more work than the writing.
Yeah. And so obviously the writing came first. So what was your first book that you were trying to get out there before the publishing thing happened?
I wrote a book. I guess it's a little bit of an autobiography, but it takes kind of a twist towards the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of about my family, my brother and I. You know, my brother struggled with addiction and such, and it's called Two Brothers, and it talks about us growing up and when we were little and kind of the things that happened in our family. And then it gets to a point where it just turns into fiction on
mm-hmm.
what might have happened in a different scenario. And it's kind of dark, but it was more like a catharsis, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And you know, nothing turned out like that. I'm not going to give away the ending just
right.
in case anybody wants to look it up later.
But in real life, it doesn't end how it ended in real life. And so
right.
then you wrote this, and then did you start sending it out? Did you start writing those queries and trying to get, you know, seen by either an agent or a publisher?
You know, I did. I sent out maybe just a few. And this was about 10 years ago, I guess, when
yeah.
I finished it. I probably sent out a few, and either nobody responded or I got, you know, rejected. And I kind of just gave up. I was like, you know, this isn't worth it. Just let me self-publish it, because that's when, you know, self-publishing was just starting to get started.
Right.
And I got on Lulu, and then I got on Amazon, and I put it out that way.
Yeah, and so then how did that go? Because I know when self-publishing first came out, you know, you talked to some authors who had, you know, like established publishing agencies and or, you know, their agents, and they would say, oh, no, it's a fly-by-night thing, and don't do it. I mean, did you hear any of that when you were first, like, getting into it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I did. And, I mean, I don't know. I just wanted people to be able to read it. And, of course, I mean, every writer wants to be kind of well-known or have their, you know, book sell a lot of copies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's not what happened. I mean, I had a lot of family and friends buy it. And, you know, I did sell some copies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it didn't blow up or anything like that.
Yeah. And so, and you, I saw that you called your publishing company, I guess, Savage Publishing, just after your last name.
Yeah, I always like to use that for a lot of different things.
It's a cool last name, so.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me, so I just, like, kind of throw it out there with a lot of little side businesses and stuff I do, I guess.
Yeah, and so then you went on to write several books, it looks like, and tell us about just some of those, and, you know, I don't know if you've had more success the more you've done this or how that's all worked.
Yeah, I mean, it's been about the same per book. I wrote another novel. It was called Melting Pot.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of based in the South, and it's kind of raw too. It's kind of the underbelly of, you know, the Memphis area, and it takes place. It's got four different. There's a lot of diversity in Memphis, and so there's like a Hispanic. There's a African American. There's a white guy and a Chinese guy,
mm-hmm.
and their stories are all separate, but they all end up, you know, becoming intertwined. And that was a lot of fun to write because it was the first one that was actually just pure fiction, you know, just my ideas and my stories, just creating these characters was a lot of fun. And same thing, you know, I just sent out a couple queries and didn't really hear much back and, you know, got frustrated. So I just said, okay, I'm going to self-publish this one,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And it sold some copies. And the thing, you know, once social media came around, like Facebook and such like that, you know, every time, like, I would post maybe the book, it might sell a couple extra copies. So I was kind of okay with that. You know, I was teaching. I was, you know, I had two daughters at that point, trying to raise my family, which was the most important thing.
Yeah.
And which kind of leads, I guess, to another little book we've written. It's called Tongue Twisting ABCs.
I saw that, and I read some of the background behind that. So that sounds like it came from a fun night in the kitchen.
Yeah,
your daughter
exactly.
Kind of sparked this idea.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, when they're little, when they're little like that, they, you know, how they like to just kind of play around, say silly stuff, and, you know, kind of caught on. And I found a really, really good artist who illustrated it for me. And that one, again, that one's not even, it doesn't really have an ISBN. We just kind of did it for fun. But I went to a local publisher and just got some copies made and kind of gave some to family and friends. And then I put it online, and it actually, that one actually did pretty well online. On Amazon.
Yeah, and the whole concept was a different tongue twist for every letter of the alphabet, right?
Right.
Right.
And there's a different animal for each letter, too.
Oh, nice. So, like, what's an example of some of that? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Yeah, like K would be koala. Let's see, P would be puppy.
Yeah.
You know, some of the basics.
Do you remember some of the tongue twists?
Let's see.
Did your daughters come up with all of these, or was it kind of a family
It was a kind of a family
event.
Thing, but
yes.
They did. They did come up with quite a few, and we actually had to research some of the animals because some of the letters were kind of tough, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for Q, I think we use a quetzal, you know, the bird from Central America.
Oh, wow. That's
so,
I would have thought a kangaroo or something. Or what, you said a Q? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, a Q. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know what you would do for that. So you had to get very creative. I could see how that did well, though, because, you know, I mean, especially for people who have kids who are, you know, just learning to speak and read. And I would think that would be a fun one to read with your child.
It is. Yeah, I mean, even now, I'll catch my older daughter. She's 9, and she still looks at it from time to time.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And so you did all this, and you were self-publishing, and then this 100 Things to Do in Bend, Oregon, I noticed was actually, it's part of a series. I don't know if you still self-published that one. Is that right, or is that part of a a series.
Yeah, this was it's traditionally published. The actual publishers out of St. Louis. They're called Reedy Press. And the series, I mean, there's 80, I want to say 80 something, last time they told me. And just all around the states. And I had seen one in Memphis that I had bought a long time ago and used it a little bit. Because it's a bucket list book is basically what it is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a good mixture of different things around town. And I've always, you know, liked to do as much as I can anywhere I go. And we started traveling. We got to a point, you know, a few years ago, we were like, well, Memphis is great. You know, we'd always love traveling. We've been overseas many times and stuff. And, you know, let's travel while our daughters are young. You know, because once they get to high school, they're going to want to settle down. They're going to, you know, they're going to have friends and stuff like that. They're going to get mad at us for just, you know, uprooting them.
Right.
And I kind of didn't like that anyway. But, you know, they were young. We decided to go ahead and start traveling. And so anyway, my wife is a traveling nurse, or she was for a while. And we bounced around the states and went down to Central America for a little while. And a lot of the cities and stuff that we stayed in, like Albuquerque and, you know, places in pretty much all around the states, like I was saying, they have these books for a lot of big cities, the 100 Things series.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do is buy one because I was homeschooling my daughters. And also, like I said, I like to be able to, you know, do as much as I can in a city and explore. And there's a lot of variety in those books, and they kind of help you, you know, find the cultural stuff, the sports stuff, the outdoor stuff, entertainment, all that stuff. So basically, I got to Ben, and they didn't have one. And I knew we were going to be here for a little while. And so I called the publisher and wrote him an email, and he noticed I had a background in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just said, well, why don't you go ahead and write us one?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, he knew, like I said, that I had a background in writing. And he kind of, you know, talked to me for a little while and gave me a deadline. And I had already been here for, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And done quite a bit. But that kind of lit a fire and maybe do everything like twice as fast, you know?
Right. Right. And so what were some, like, because I've never looked at one of these books before as far as the series goes. What are some of the things that are in there?
In the
Bend.
All of them?
In yours.
Oh, yeah. So in Central Oregon, Bend's, you know, it's growing fast. There's probably 100,000 people here, but it actually encompasses all of Central Oregon. So, I mean, there's places like Tumalo Falls. Even Crater Lake. Crater Lake's about 2 hours away, an hour and a half, but it's still in there because it's fairly close. But it's got, you know, waterfalls. It's got a lot of different hikes. It's got some of the local shopping. It's got some of the local eateries and such. You know, some of
the breweries,
restaurants.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely breweries.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's not just like in the city limits of Bend. It sounds like you do kind of like all around Bend.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was talking to the publisher, I said something about calling it Central Oregon, but they were, you know, I guess they wanted to keep it more of a known area or because Bend still is the hub.
Right.
It's still the hub of the area.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's cool. What is your favorite thing in there that you would say, as far as like what you have done in Bend or in that area?
You know, it's hard to say it. You know, it depends on the season. It depends on my mood and stuff. You know, there's some of these breweries, like you mentioned, you know, some of them are, you know, great to eat and to drink. And then there's the outdoor stuff, which is probably my favorite. You know, Crater Lake was beautiful, you know. And then there's the Deschutes River Trail, which is, you know, right down the road pretty much from anywhere in town that you can just hop on and, you know, do a good hike or a good run. You know, I get on there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it is such a beautiful area. Is there anything in there that, like, anything people wouldn't expect, anything unusual that you suggest doing?
Yeah, I think so. I tried to put some places, I didn't want to, you know, I guess around here everybody's so scared because it's growing so fast. And they don't want it to, you know, grow so much to the point where it's overrun. And so there's a lot of places that I kind of just tried to leave out because they're not as you know, busy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I still put some, I think, some gems in there that, you know, especially people coming in town, like tourists and stuff, wouldn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Like, and what's an example of one of those?
Not too far from here, we have something called Christmas Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the eastern part of Oregon a little bit. It's maybe an hour away or so,
okay.
A little over an hour. But it's got a, it's got Fort Rock, and it's got a place called Crack in the Ground. You know,
uh-huh.
And those are off the beaten path. You have to drive down gravel roads to get to them, and such. And
those are like hikes, or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hikes.
When you said Christmas Valley, I was thinking it was going to be like this, you know, Santa Claus all year round type of like winter wonderland.
Kind of hidden gem, huh?
Yeah.
Hidden North Pole.
Oh, cool. And so then, are you guys planning on staying in Bend for a while, or are you going to keep moving?
Yeah, we're here for good, for at least a little while. We bought a house and
oh, cool.
Yeah, we've been in our house about a year almost, and
awesome.
You know, really enjoy it. Really love the area.
Yeah, and so then as far as, you know, because this was the first time that you've worked with a publishing house that's not Savage Publishing. So, what was the experience like compared to doing it yourself?
You know, I think the best part is you get a lot of help as mm-hmm. far as being able to promote and such. You know, you have access to places, like bigger places like Barnes & Noble and Target and, you know, any place that sells books on a large scale.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you still have to, I think there's kind of a, I don't know, people think it's, once you get traditionally published, it's just easy after that.
Yeah.
But you still have to do a lot of hustling on your own, you know. You still have to get out there and kind of promote yourself. And, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, the easiest part's the writing.
Yeah.
But, you know, even now I've got to sometimes go to certain stores and see if they're stocked up or, you know, I'll have to reach out to the publisher and say, hey, so-and-so's out, call them and, you know, this and that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you were at Barnes & Noble there recently, right, in Bend?
No, just a couple days ago, actually.
Oh, just a couple days ago. Okay. And so where can people find this book? Because, you know, Christmas is coming up. It sounds like it'd be a great, you know, stocking stuffer, especially for people that do like to get out and explore.
Yeah, for sure. It's now, as far as Portland bookstores, I'm not 100% sure how much it's selling up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's on readypress.com. And you can just type in the title, and it'll come right up. And hopefully I'll be doing some, you know, book events up there.
Yeah.
You know, early next year.
Well, I would think if you were at the Barnes & Noble there, I would think it would be, you know, in ours here, since a lot of people go to Bend, especially for the holidays and, you know, during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be. I'm not sure.
I
try to get up to Portland time to time. But
yeah, I'm sure people can figure it out. What's your next plan as far as, are you already working on your next book, or what's the next thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always writing. You know, I love to write, like mm-hmm. I said. You know, I've got several pieces of fiction that I kind of work on from time to time. This has kind of opened up the door a little bit for, like, local papers and such. So I've been writing for some... Well, while I was traveling, anyway, I did a lot of freelancing for magazines and
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know, continue to do that. But I've been putting some articles in some local papers around here and stuff.
Nice.
Still teaching.
Yeah. You could become a travel writer, though. That'd be a sweet gig, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I do now.
Yeah. They send you all over the place.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, and then do you have your own personal website as well, or where can people find more information about you?
They can find information on Facebook.
Okay.
There's a 100 things to do in Bend before you die.
Okay.
It's a group basically of mostly, you know, people from around here and people that want to know anything about the area, just for us to share information and, you know, discuss things.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like I said, on Amazon and Instagram, basically all the social media and stuff.
All right. Great. Well, Josh, thanks so much for chatting with me. And yeah, it sounds like a great book. I mean, I love going to Bend, and I think most people who go there fall in love with it. So
yeah,
can't
really
wait to see your book and see some of the things that I would not have thought of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I
all right.
It.
Well, great. Thank you again, Josh Savage.
Right.
100 things to do in Bend, Oregon before you die. Very dramatic. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Thank you.